Good morning, KKXX listeners. Welcome to Christ Today, your encouraging, informative, and uplifting show where we don't discuss good news or bad news. We discuss the great news of Jesus Christ. Hope you guys had a great week last week. And today we have in the studio two awesome men of God, starting out with the first one, Dan Martin. Good morning, Dan. How are you?
I'm great, Curtis. Thank you so much
for having you on the program. It's been a while. I've been wanting to have you for a while. I'm glad we have you today. So, Dan, why don't you start open by telling the people where you came from and how you came to the Lord?
Again, my name's Dan Martin. I pretty much grew up here in Chico. My family moved from San Jose in the third grade. I went through all the schools here, Rosedale, Chico Junior High, Chico High. Graduated from there. Vietnam was on at the time. It was 1969. The draft was after me. I enlisted in the Navy for 4 years, and really, during that time, I just got into this party mode, you know, just looking for a good time. And once you get living that lifestyle, it just becomes a real bondage. And it became a real bondage for me. There was always a question in my life, but, you know, there's just got to be more to life than what I'm living. I began to get into to drugs and that whole scene. And while I was in the service, I started an import-export business overseas and was bringing drugs back into the States and making good money, which I thought back in the day. But my life was spiraling down. And came to the end of my time for the service to get out. I came back to Chico and continued and persisted in that same lifestyle. And I had gotten in a bad motorcycle wreck and broke my leg up. And I was just living very selfishly and a very self-centered life. Continued to do my life, and my leg wasn't healing because I was just pretty wild back then. So about a year later, they finally did an operation on it and did a bone graft. And so I got through that and still persisted selling drugs and doing that thing. And then one morning, there came a knock at my door at the house where I was living. When I woke up, I went to the door with my jockey shorts. I had a pistol in the back of my jockey shorts and went to the door and answered it. And there was these people out there that wanted to arrest me for sales. And so it was dark, still dark out. And so they said, "Hey, can you turn a light on?" So I turned a light on and I turned around, went to flip it. Well, that gun started to sag down in my jockey shorts. So I grabbed it. Well, next thing I know, this one police officer has a 45 to my head, and they're locking me up and putting me in shackles and stuff and getting ready to take me out. They finally agreed to let me put some Levi's on, and they walked me out and took me into the car and took me down to jail. And, you know, I knew my life has really started spiraling down. And my mom, bless her heart, I know that she, you know, we were never really raised in a church. My family went to church once on an occasion or two. And I'd always thought that there was God out there, though. You know, in school you get taught that, you know, you evolve from an amoeba coming out of the water onto the land.
Evolution.
Pretty crazy theory, I thought. But anyway, I still believe that God was out there somewhere. And my mom worked with a gentleman that was she worked at the DMV investigations, and one of the investigators there was a believer. Somebody that has received Christ in her life, and she hooked her up for me, a lawyer. Mm-hmm. Well, I went in this lawyer's office, and, you know, I was kind of cocky back then. I was like 20, let's see, I would be about 25 at that time. And he began to tell me that I could have a new lease on life, that I could change my lifestyle if I wanted to, you know. And man, I had thought, man, there was more to life than what I was meeting, and I thought, man, I really need something like that. And he just began to tell me that God's love through his son, Jesus Christ, would transform my life if I wanted to receive him, to believe that Jesus is the Christ, that he's the one that gave his life for the ransom of every person's life in the world, every sin that we've ever committed. And when he did that, my life, it changed. I transformed my life. I became a new. It says that, behold, all things become new for those who are in Christ.
So you became a new creation.
I became a new creation at that point. It was just awesome, man. And so from there, I wanted to know what God had for me. Mm-hmm. And so I began to go to a church here, a local church in town.
No names mentioned, PV Assembly guy.
Well, no names mentioned, but the thing is, you know, I don't, this is going to be edited, right? So I don't know, do you want me to go further on how I took?
Yeah.
So anyway, back then all I had was an old Harley Davidson, and I came in riding into this church, and I thought, man, these people are going to know that I'm this black sheep that has gotten saved, that's received Christ. And I thought, man, these people, they're going to be pointing a finger at me as soon as I roll in here. But I went into that place, and I found out that it's the word says that we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of God's grace. And
glory of God, which is his grace.
Amen. And so I just began to meet and make new friends with those people and begin to be taught the things that they believed. And in that, I began to, and which I didn't know at the time, but it says in Ephesians, it says, it's for grace that you have been saved, and it's through faith, and it's not that of yourself. It's God's gift. It's not a result of any works that I've done or any of the bad things I've done or any of the good things I ever did. I remember one time I was overseas in the service, and they needed some people to go over to this orphanage and help it out. And I thought in my mind, this is the thinking that I had back then, was, you know what, man, if I go over and just labor over there and help those orphans out and everything, I'll remind God of that when I die and go to heaven. I'll just go, hey, don't you remember me? I'm the guy that helped out over at that orphanage. You know, none of those good things really are going to take you into the kingdom.
Exactly. They're not going to keep you saved. They're not going to make you right. Christ already did what needed to be done to get you into heaven, correct?
That's right. And like it says, that no one could boast. So nobody's going to get up there and go, hey, look at me, look at me, look at me.
No.
For it says, we are his workmanship, and that we're created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And again, it's just an amazing journey, even though it hasn't been the journey I probably would have chosen for myself. I am grateful for the Lord continually in my life and what he has done for me, what he continues to do for me and through me. It's just amazing.
Folks, you're listening to KKXX 930 AM, 104.5 FM, Christ Today, with your host Curtis Smith and guest Dan Martin. So continue, Dan.
So anyway, I guess what I'm saying, we have gotten... In my pursuit of God, I just wanted everything that he had for me. And so I ended up going to Bible school and doing a bunch of stuff, a bunch of ministry stuff. But in that, those people taught me how to be religious.
That's hit on that.
And, you know, and I became religious for a long time. You know, it was when you take God's grace and you mix it, which God's grace is, we're under the new covenant now. Mm-hmm. We're no longer under the old covenant. And when we take the old covenant and mix it with the new covenant, it just doesn't happen. I think it's Galatians that says, even if we or an angel from heaven preach another gospel to you, contrary to the gospel you received, let that person be accursed. So when we begin to mix those two together, we're under a curse. I mean, we don't realize that, you know, we're continually trying to earn our blessings to God.
Let's clarify. We're still saved and going to get to heaven. It just makes our life here on earth miserable, and it puts us under a curse where we're not really receiving the blessings that Christ intended for us to receive, correct?
That's good.
You want to chime in there, Dave?
No,
Graybill?
That's a good point because, you know, many Christians and churches, you know, we believe that we're saved by grace, and we accept that salvation by grace, but then how do we, quote-unquote, flesh it out, okay? Or how do we live out the Christian life?
Why don't we take a quick break, come back and let Dave Graybill, who's been a guest on the show in the past, to touch a little bit on that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Christ Today, our break time, and we just want to let you know that we hope you're out there listening, hope you're out there being encouraged and informed this morning, and it's going to be a powerful show. It's on grace versus law, And I just want to encourage anyone out there that's listening to the program and you feel led to give this radio station a call and let me know what you think about it. Feel free to call 894-7325 and just say you enjoy the program. If you don't enjoy the program, feel free to call and say you don't enjoy the program. And if you want to get me to get back in touch with you, feel free to ask for Curtis Smith and let them know what you think about the program. If you call and you don't get an answer right away, leave a message. Please leave a message with your name and number and we will get back with you. And back to the show. All right. Dave, let's start. Let's continue where we were left off at before we went to break.
Well, I was just starting to say that, you know, all Christian churches, really, whether they're quote unquote grace churches or legalistic churches, you know, we believe that we're saved by grace through faith. But how do we continue to live the Christian life?
You know, yeah, maybe you can touch on that.
Do we try to do it in the, you know, what was begun in the spirit? Do we try to fulfill in the flesh? You know, we're warned against that, you know, and yet we very often do. Like Dan was saying earlier, you know, we get religion heaped on us, or sometimes we heap it on ourselves. We take on these burdens or rules or disciplines, things that we think we should do or know we should do, and then we try to do that in order to gain acceptance from God or to try to earn points with God or whatever. But we've been given unmerited favor. Mm-hmm. From God through the death of Jesus Christ.
What does that mean, unmerited favor?
It's undeserved. It's unearned. You know, Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So okay. What's a wage? A wage is something you work for, you earn, and you deserve.
And a gift is something that you had nothing to do with. It was just given to
and
you
a,
because
and
of somebody.
Gift. And a gift is undeserved, unearned, yeah. Unmerited. It's freely given. Yeah. That free gift is the free gift we receive. And just like any gift, the gift is free to the recipient of the gift. Mm-hmm. But the gift isn't free to the person who gives the gift. You give somebody a birthday present or a Christmas present, it costs the giver of the gift something to give it.
Exactly. But there's
the person,
value.
But the yeah. person who receives a gift, to him it's free. Mm-hmm. All we have to do is receive it. Mm-hmm. And that's the whole thing about Christ and our new birth and our new life, is it's free to us. It's given to us freely as a gift. Mm-hmm. And then do we try to pay back the person who gave us the gift because it was such a good gift?
It's really hard to do. I don't believe it's possible.
Not with our free gift of eternal life, because yeah. it cost Jesus everything. He died for us. We can't pay that back. The closest we can come to it is living for him.
Yeah.
We've been crucified with Christ,
or letting
we live
him,
with him.
Or letting him be our life.
That's the whole
thing.
Which
I think a lot of people are still trying to live for Christ, and Christ says it's no longer you that lives, but he that lives. So if it's him that's living, and he's putting the desires and stuff in us, then we should be willing to do what pleases him, not feel like we have to, or not doing stuff under obligations. And that's what we're going to get more into during this program. So, Dan, you want to touch on that?
You know what? And Dave, that was just good stuff, brother. I appreciate
Very good.
That.
Thank you.
Yeah. You know, again, it is that free gift, and we can't earn it. And what happens in churches is they teach us that, hey, okay, if you're gonna be a good Christian, you need to do this. You can't do this. You got to do this. You better do this. It goes through the whole thing, and that is how it was in the Old Testament under the law. Where God said, if you do this, I will do this. If you don't do this, I'm going to do this. And there was so many rules and regulations to that I'm sure it was very difficult for those people to walk under that. And whereas by today, we're, again, it's God's just gone, you know what? This is my son. Here's a gift for you. And if you choose to embrace that gift, if you choose to embrace Christ, your life will transform, and I'll come in here and I'll live with you, man, and we'll go through this whole life thing together, which is now I live life on the side without him, and I've lived life now for a long time with him, and it's so much better with him, that's for sure.
And he don't need our help.
Sure
I
does.
Think churches try to instill within us that if we want God to do something, or we want God to work his way in our life or have us win our life, then we must do A, B, C, D, E, and F. You know, God won't help you unless you help yourself. Well, if we could help ourselves, we wouldn't need God's help in the first place. Am I not accurate?
It's man's nature to want to have a part in our salvation, whether we try to, you know, break our arm, patting ourselves on the back, you know, saying that we had something to do with it, we pulled ourselves up by our own bootstraps or something. That doesn't work spiritually,
no.
You know, like we were saying before, it's a free gift,
yeah.
You know, But God does bless us. He does give us blessings. He rewards us. You know, he did it all, and he allows us to be participants in it, and then he rewards us as if we actually had that part in it, but it's all his work and what he's done already.
Yeah.
And it says, once again, it's by grace, not by works, should any man boast. But we have a lot of people in the church boasting, as you both kind of touched on. They're talking about, look at me, look at what I'm doing. And if you got, you know, I just heard this morning, I was listening to something on TV. Well, these are the seven things you must spiritually do if you want to be strong in the Lord. And it was like, excuse me, isn't he already my strength? So I should want to, not that I have to. And it was like, wait a minute. If it's putting it on me, then what does this leave Christ?
Right.
It's not me trying to make myself anything. Yeah, if I love God, I want to do what pleases him. I'm not having to do what pleases him. Understand the difference between
right.
want to and have to.
Well, Dan was saying earlier, you know, you get religion pushed on you in one way or another. I went to a lot of different churches in my Christian life. I accepted Christ when I was in first grade, so I've had a long experience in a wide variety of churches, you know, from conservative to charismatic or Pentecostal and a lot of, you know, ones in between. But no matter which church you're going to, there's a set of lists of do's and don'ts, like Dan was mentioning earlier. You know, you're expected to either do these things or don't do these things. And if you do enough of the do columns and don't do enough of the don't columns, then you're so-called a quote-unquote good Christian or living the good Christian life.
But, and the more you do, the better you are.
Or the more used up and burned out you get sometimes.
Yeah.
But, it becomes a doo-doo gospel.
But that's the whole thing. Is like you were saying before, you know, you don't have to do these things. You get to. And that's what we tried to instill in our children when they're young. And they said, oh, do we have to? I said, no, you don't have to. You get to. And it's the same way in our Christian life as well. You know, our response to God's love should compel us and encourage us to do the right thing.
Absolutely.
And to live that Christian life as a response to God's goodness, love, and grace and mercy toward us already.
Yes.
Like Dan shared earlier, we're saved by grace through faith in order to produce those good works from Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and verse 10. A lot of people quote verses 8 and 9, but Dan read verse 10 as well, because we're his workmanship. We're a work of art created in Christ Jesus to do those good works that he prepared beforehand that we should do in them. A lot of people have a misunderstanding of the grace teachers and the grace movement, and people teaching grace is that we don't, you know, expect to do good works, or that we can do anything we want to do, or and that we, you know, or that we don't sin, or that we can sin all we want, and neither of those are true. It's a misinterpretation and a misrepresentation of what grace is really about. We are saved by grace through faith in order that we can produce good works and live godly lives.
Which a brief definition of that is Christ plus nothing equals everything. I want to ask a question. I have heard recently, and very recently, this term, greasy grace. And my question is, why do religious people say that, refer to, in regards to us, as preaching a message of greasy grace? Can either one of you touch on that, what this greasy grace is all about?
Yeah, that's kind of what we were just alluding to a second ago, is if it's greasy grace, there's a slippery slope, you know, that we can slide down on. Either that, like the salvation of, oh, we're saved by grace, so then, you know, we can go and do anything we want. It's just, you know, fire insurance kind of salvation, and we can, you know, live like hell and then go to heaven
and that's
afterwards.
Not what we're saying.
And that's, you know, that's not what we people are saying, and that's not what the church is saying with salvation either. So mm-hmm. it's the same kind of thing with the grace teaching. Is a lot of people misrepresent what the grace message is all about. And it isn't greasy grace. It isn't, oh yeah, you can do anything you want, mm-hmm. and you're safe and secure. It's that we're saved, and then we respond. And grace teaches us, and says in Titus, I believe, is that grace teaches us how to live godly lives. Titus 2:11-13. Grace brings us salvation, and grace also teaches us how to deny ungodliness and how to live righteously.
Mm-hmm. So, getting back to one of my other questions, who is our righteousness? Who is our righteousness? Who makes us right? And how are we made right? And it all goes to Christ, right? He's our righteousness. He makes us right. And we are made right by him, not by anything in and of ourselves or anybody else trying to improve us or give us formulas to be made right. It's what Christ has done and what Christ is doing, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
It says, the word says that we are the righteousness of Christ. When we have put our faith in Christ, we are the righteousness of Christ. And therefore, on Sunday mornings, you'd hear a message from the Word, and a lot of times it was out of the Old Testament, and they would want you to come forth for repentance. Well, you know, it wasn't until later years, but I thought, wait a minute, I am the righteousness of Christ. If I'm the righteousness of Christ, how can I be a sinner also every Sunday? I got to repent for sin. It says, I love this scripture because it says, we have an advocate in heaven. So when I sin, I have an advocate right there, right now. The enemy comes up there and he goes before God and he goes, did you see those thoughts Dan Martin was having? And that's sin. And Jesus goes, and the Father goes to Jesus, goes, is that right? And Jesus goes to the Father, he goes, my blood has covered that sin.
Washed it away.
It's already a done deal. Mm-hmm. And I am so, and as I understand God's love for me, and Dave was hitting on that, it compels me to want to do good. It compels me to walk out this life the best I can.
Mm-hmm. 2 Corinthians 5:21 is what Dan was talking about earlier, is that, you know, we're the righteousness of God. And we first started attending the Grace Fellowship, and that was one of the hurdles we were trying to get over. And after years and years and years of being taught, well, you're just a dirty sinner saved by grace, you hear somebody say, well, you're the righteousness of God, or I'm the righteousness of God. You say, well, that sounds awful arrogant. But you're reading along, and it says, Christ, who knew no sin, became sin, or a sin offering for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So that righteousness we have came from Christ. Christ said, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, you can't enter the kingdom of God. How can we have that righteousness that exceeds the Pharisees? Only by taking the righteousness that Christ gives us, his righteousness. Because our righteousness is his filthy rags.
That's right.
But his righteousness is that total, complete righteousness. Okay? And it, that righteousness is imputed to us. It's given to us. It's credited to our account. Just like Abraham in the Old Testament, okay? His faith was credited to him, or counted to him, mm-hmm. for righteousness. We too have that imputed righteousness upon ours. It's been chalked up to our ledger in our account, Christ's righteousness. It's on our side of the column. It outweighs everything else in our column. All of our sin, Christ's righteousness outweighs all of that.
I'll tell you, that's good stuff.
That is.
That's the abundant life that Christ gives us.
That's right.
You know, I think when Christ died on the cross and he said it is finished, he basically says, my people now are righteous, because he did the right. He didn't have to, but he went to the cross for us. And by him going to the cross, reaching out his arms and saying, this is how much I love them, Father, forgive them, which tells me today that we are forgiven. Yet we have many people say, well, have you sinned? You better go ask for forgiveness. And I touched bases with Dave right before we came on the show. If God gave you something, why are you going and asking him for it when you already have it?
Well,
you know? Christ was on the cross. Like you said, his arms were outstretched on the cross. He was there hanging on the cross for us. And he says, it is started?
No, he
said, it is finished.
Amen,
okay? If he said, it is started, now it's up to you. I started it, I gave it to you. Now it's up to you to do all the stuff and keep it and hang on to it. You know, and if you lose your grip, then you're messed up and out of luck. But he said, it's finished. It's
finished.
A done deal.
Done. Yeah. Completed.
Yeah.
So my next question is, okay, now let's talk about the Ten Commandments. And we have people saying that the Ten Commandments are for us as believers. But I believe that the Ten Commandments were written, and they were under old code, under old school for the Jewish people. How do they, I mean, I know that they're moral code for us. We should want to follow, but Christ has called us to follow loving him and loving others. So do the Ten Commandments really apply to the church, or who were they intended for, and why is the church teaching that the Ten Commandments still apply today?
Well, the Ten Commandments, or the law, okay, was given to the Jews, okay? It was given to Israel to keep them separate and distinct from the rest of the world and other peoples around them, okay? It says this in Exodus 31 and also Ezekiel 20, so if you want to look those up, that's, you know, they're... That's what it's there for. whether it be the commandments or whether it be the Sabbath or whether it be circumcision. Those are kind of like figures of speech where you say, it's called like a synecdoche. Like you say, hey, you got a nice set of wheels. A portion of the thing speaks of the whole. So you know you're not talking about wheels. You're talking about your car or your transportation. So if the term law or circumcision or Sabbath is used a lot of times, it refers to the whole law.
Yeah.
So this Old Testament commandments were given to the Jews. And when Moses came down from the mountains with the Ten Commandments, the Jews who had said beforehand, oh, whatever the Lord says, we'll do. He went up to the mountains for 40 days. He came back. They had broken all of them already. Okay.
Dropped all 10 at once.
So, it's just, and we do that. You know, man messes up everything we get our hands on. If we try to do it in the flesh, we mess it up. Look at the Bible. By the time we get to Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve were created and given this perfect world. And by chapter 3, mankind's messed it up.
Yeah.
So it doesn't take us any time at all to mess something up.
That's a fact.
So it's up to us to realize that God's work throughout this whole scripture is his plan of redemption, his plan of reconciliation, reconciling fallen man, fallen creation back to himself. And these Old Testament commandments, that old covenant is a conditional covenant. If you do these things, you'll be blessed. If you don't do these things, you'll be cursed.
Mm-hmm.
The new covenant isn't between man and God or God and man. It's between God the Father and Jesus Christ.
Mm.
So we can't mess it up.
No, that's true.
Because this new covenant gives us the commandments in John 13, 34 and 35. The new commandment I give to you, love one another.
Yeah.
And in 1 John 3, verse 23, I believe, is it we've been given this commandment that we believe in Jesus and love one another. And if we keep these commandments, then that's the commandments we're called to fulfill in the new covenant. Because remember in Acts 15, in the Jerusalem Council, the Gentiles were coming into the church because the church started, it was originally Jewish, and then a few Gentiles came in. Today, the church is mostly Gentile with a few Jews, the Messianic believers. But they said, okay, in Acts 15, the people were saying, okay, well, what shall we say to these Gentile Christians? Is it necessary to circumcise them and direct them to observe the law of Moses? This is Acts 15:5. So they said, well, is it necessary for circumcision? Are we to have the Gentile believers observe the law of Moses? That'll be the Ten Commandments, right?
Yeah.
And we were said that we're. Peter responds, he says, now therefore, verse 10, now therefore, why do you put God to the test by placing upon the neck of the disciples a yoke, which neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we are saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in the same way that they are also. So the Jewish believers and the Gentile believers are all saved by grace.
Exactly.
So us Gentile believers were never under the law of Moses.
We were grafted in.
Yeah, but I'm saying we don't have to keep these things. We don't have to become a good Jew to become a Christian.
Yeah.
And that's, that's a lot of the things of the commandments is that you've got to do all these things to be different. But the whole thing is we've got Christ living in us, okay? The Spirit of God indwells us. And if we're led by the Spirit, we're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. We're going to be able to live godly lives and fulfill those commandments of believing in Christ and loving one another. And that is what the whole law and the prophets basically all hinge on, is loving God, loving one another, and all these other things of being, of not, if you love one another, you're not going to be wanting to steal from them and covet from them and kill them or do all these other things. All these laws that are in those Ten Commandments, we're going to fulfill. But that law of love, that law of liberty is going to trump that Old Testament law of the flesh.
Makes sense. Go ahead, Dan Martin, speak.
I think there's a lot of people, and I don't know if you're listening out there today, but you don't even go to church anymore because you feel like you just couldn't measure up, And I want you to know that you already measure up through Jesus. Now, when it says here, and Dave just hit upon this really well, it says, now therefore, why do you put God to the test? And here he is, he's talking to the religious leaders of the day by placing upon the neck of the disciples. And when we begin to put things upon our fellow brothers and sisters, you know, you got to do this, you can't do this, and you want, we want you to give this. And when you do that, you're really going against everything that Christ has accomplished for us. And I just so grateful to live under grace today, you know, because even their forefathers couldn't bear up under that. They couldn't even fulfill those things. And when we put it upon the people today, those people that we are supposed to love one another, as Dave said, you know, we do them a very injustice.
I agree. And God's not about injustice. He's about justice. He wants us to, but we are justified by what his son did. So when he looks at us as justice, if we never did it, because it's completely, like Dave said earlier, washed away, cleansed, purified, not just covered.
That's what justification is.
Exactly.
It's
just like
God,
never did
God sees, looks at us as just if I'd never sinned. Mm-hmm. Just being justified is being, it's a legal term. It means being declared not guilty.
Mm-hmm.
We're declared righteous. That's what justification is. And the scripture says plainly, our justification is by faith.
Mm-hmm.
We're justified by faith. We're led by the Spirit, and we're taught by righteousness.
Dan Martin, let me focus on you for a second. Why do you feel that the churches are preaching a mixed gospel? Where are they getting this mixed gospel from, this mixture? Where are they getting it? And how did it come about? And it's so simple. Why has it become so complicated and so mixed? Can you give us your...
Well, I think, like myself, I think when you're taught a certain way, that's what you believe. You know what I mean? I mean, it's if you're taught, okay, yeah, I've been saved by grace, but now I have to earn the rest of my salvation all the days of my life by doing and not doing, and you're taught that way, it's hard to break free from that thing. I mean, it's just like, I remember when I was first saved, man, I was telling everybody I knew about Jesus. You know, people really didn't like see me coming around. And then I got to the place where I just thought, man, if I got to lead a person to Christ and tell them, hey, here's the deal, man, you got to stop doing all those things you're doing. You got to give me 10% of your money, or give the church 10% of your money, or whatever they require. And you can't do this, but you can do this. And it's just a happy life. And I just couldn't bring myself to do that anymore, because that's not a happy life. I mean, it's not, and I think Dave said it earlier, Jesus came to bring abundant life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I got to live under all these rules and regulations, and we all do as we live life today, you know, when I was in the service, I was under the rules and regulations of that, of the government. And, you know, they really put a lot of restrictions on you. But when I live under the freedom of God's grace, knowing his love for me, man, it is so much easier to walk. And I have such a greater freedom to share God's love with people now.
Mm-hmm.
And not even to, I don't even try to put anything on them. I just love people. You know, it's easier to just love people.
We can share Jesus with people. And like when we both got, my wife got saved, and when Dan got saved, it was really fresh, you know. Okay, when you first come to Christ, you love Jesus, you realize Jesus loves you, and you love him. But then after a while, you go to church and you get taught religion. And you know, if you go to one church, it's a different set of lists of religions. If you go to another church, it may be a different set of lists. And then sometimes you put on a list of what things to do. But a legal list is somebody who wants you to run your life by a set of legal lists.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually he wants you to run your life by his list.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing is that Jesus didn't come that we might have law and law in abundance.
No.
He came that we might have life and life in abundance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's abundant life.
Come on.
Go ahead. You want to say something?
No, I was going to say, I just agree with Dave. That's good stuff. That's the truth.
It's refreshing to go back to the relationship with Jesus rather than a religion or an organizational system of things. It's Jesus. Like you said earlier, Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Jesus plus anything equals nothing.
So how do we get from the mixed gospel back to the simple gospel?
That's what scripture says. It's the simplicity that's in Christ. It's Jesus Christ and him crucified.
So do we leave the churches that are teaching the mixed gospel, or how do we... Go ahead, Dan.
Well,
share your experience.
I would definitely agree with that, because what happens is you just continue to live under the law, and really... back up a little bit is God, all he's ever wanted with us is relationship. He's wanted to communicate with us, to walk with us. I mean, you go back to Genesis, as Dave brought up earlier. I mean, we did mess it up, man. We're good at that. But God just wanted a relationship with his creation. That's what he wants today. And he's made it so much more simple for us now through his son, Jesus Christ. And, you know, the churches are teaching a lot of mixture, a lot of law.
That's what reconciliation is. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation. And that's what reconciliation is a restoring relationship.
Listeners, you're listening to Christ Today on KKXX 930 AM at Y104.5 FM. This is Curtis Smith, your host, with Dan Martin and Dave Graybill in the studio. And we will take a break. Well, listeners out there, I hope you are enjoying the program Christ Today every Saturday from 11 to 12. And if you are, feel free to call 894-7325 and let us know about it. Leave a message or ask us to call you back. Leave your name, number, and a message, and let us know what you think about the program and if you like the program. And I try to have a giveaway every once in a while. This week we will not have a giveaway, but this week we will encourage you to call in. Let us know what you think about the program. And if you have an idea for an upcoming show, or if you know somebody that would be a good guest on the program, feel free to give us a call and let us know about that. All right, we're going to get back to the program. All right, so now, who wants to continue on, and maybe you have something else that you want to share?
Want to
go ahead, Dave?
Dave? I don't know. We were discussing earlier about just grace and faith and works and law. There's a lot of things that we see in Scripture that in Romans 3 and a lot of other places that law and works cannot save. Okay,
Amen.
We can't be saved by the law.
No.
But yet we revert to that default setting many times as we come up and plug in whatever we think what law we might have to do. But righteousness and justification come through faith as a result of God's gift of grace.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that we were saying earlier, justification is being acquitted, declared not guilty. And righteousness is basically, it's a fancy theological term, righteousness, but define it a little bit. It's right standing or right relationship with God.
Made right, yeah.
So that relationship, that right relationship comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ.
That's true.
So it's righteousness apart from the law. It's righteousness by faith. And it the law is good for a certain thing, but what does the law good for? First Timothy says the law is good for a purpose, but the law wasn't made for righteous men.
No.
But for the lawless and rebellious. So the law is a good tutor or guardian or schoolmaster to show us our need for Christ. The law basically just says, here's God's standard of perfection, and you can't meet it. It shows us our need for a Savior. So it should draw us or push us to Jesus. It shows us we need a Savior.
It paints Romans 7 very well.
The law is our schoolmaster or tutor or guardian that we're under Christ, and I think it's in Galatians 3 that our law is a tutor to lead us as Christ. But now under faith, we're no longer under that tutorship or that guardianship. We're no longer under that supervision because we now are full sons and daughters of God.
Yeah.
So we're not under the tutor. We're not under the guardian. We don't have that nanny. We don't have Mary Poppins, looking after us as a little kid. We're now full sons and daughters, and we're given the full rights and responsibilities and the right relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ.
So now that that's all taken care of, now how do we please God? How do we do his will, or how are we in his will, and how do we please him?
Well, what is the work of God? Okay, Jesus was asked this question.
Oh, yeah.
In John 6, what shall we do that we do to the work that we may do the work of God,
right?
And Jesus answers, and this is John 6:29. Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent.
Amen.
So that's the work. Believe in Christ and love one another. That we were alluding to before. But the will, you asked a question, I think, saying the will of God.
Before you go there, I want to ask another question. You have believers, because I've had people in my family say it, well, even the devil believes. And they throw that at people that are trying to, get away from the law and the works message. What do you say in response to even the devil believes?
There's different kinds of belief, okay? That kind of belief there, the devil and the demons believe, okay? Some people believe in the existence of God, okay, a mere intellectual assent. Okay, yeah, we you know, right. We may acknowledge that there may be a God out there somewhere. We can say, oh, yeah, I believe in God. If you look at the poll, people are saying, oh, the polls, that, you know, 65 or 74 or 83% of, you know, people in the United States are claimed to be Christians or say they believe in God. That's the kind of believing in God they're talking about. Oh, we believe that there's a divine being up there somewhere, a greater power, a higher power. That's the kind of belief that the demons have. They acknowledge that God exists. He created them. Mm-hmm. They know he's around, and they know he's true. But they don't, you know, the type of belief that we're talking about as far as believers are followers of Jesus Christ, that belief means to have faith or trust or reliance upon something. That's biblical belief, okay? We believe in this chair. We're sitting on each three of us are sitting on chairs right now. We believe that this chair is going to hold us up, and we're not going to fall down. And we sit on it. We trust that this chair is going to hold us up.
Yeah.
I've heard this story that there was this guy with a wheelbarrow and going across the tightrope, like over Niagara Falls, says, okay, how many believe that I can push this wheelbarrow across the tightrope and over Niagara Falls? Oh, yeah, we believe you can do it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, how many of you are willing to get in the wheelbarrow?
Okay, cross.
Believe and faith, those are action terms, just like love. Okay, love is an action term. Same thing with believe and faith. Faith is sitting on that chair. Faith is getting into the wheelbarrow. Faith is allowing Jesus to push us over that tightrope. We're being in Jesus. We have faith in him. We're in him. We're in that wheelbarrow with him going across that tightrope of life over the chasm of Niagara Falls. So that belief is more than just an intellectual assent. It's a trust and a reliance upon. We're clinging to him.
Thank you for that answer.
That's the difference of that kind of belief.
Do you want to say something, Dan?
I don't, man. Dave covered that pretty darn well.
Okay. What else do you want to touch on? We still have a few minutes.
Well, we talked about works and law. Mm-hmm. We've been talking about grace and faith. You know, Dan shared when he opened up that we're saved by grace through faith. Mm-hmm. Ephesians 2. Titus 3:5 says, and it's not by works of righteousness that we have done that God has saved us, but by his mercy we've been saved and we've been justified.
Now, isn't mercy something we don't deserve? We're given?
We're given grace. Yeah, we're given grace. We're given mercy.
What's the definition of mercy?
Mercy is kind of like, you know, when you throw yourself on the mercy of the court, you know, you don't want to get the bad you deserve. So that's like mercy. Okay. They're kind of parallel terms. They're not exactly synonymous, but they're pretty close. Okay. Mercy, most times, is like saying, okay, I don't get the bad things I do deserve. That's mercy. You know, the wages of sin is death. So God is merciful. He doesn't give us death.
No.
Okay. But he's gracious. In addition to that mercy of not giving us death, he gives us grace, and he gives us good things we do not deserve. So he doesn't give us the bad we do deserve, and he gives us good things we don't deserve. That's kind of the difference between mercy and grace and how they kind of go hand in hand sometimes.
Go ahead.
I was just thinking back up a little bit of works. And I think sometimes we as Christians try to go, okay, what can I do today to do good works? How can I do some good works for God? You know, because God's blessed me so much. We want to please God.
Yeah.
But I love the scripture. Again, it says that we are his. We're his workmanship. And that he created us in Christ Jesus for good works. And then it goes on to say, which he prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And I think the gospel's simple, you know, and I don't think God's up there trying to have us figure out how to do good works, because it says that he's going to do those things through us. And as I go about my day, I wake up in the morning, you know, and however you start your day, maybe you start your day with prayer and studying reading the scriptures, or maybe you got a good book on grace, or however you start your day. But I just believe that as I go through my day, God leads me.
Mm-hmm.
It says he directs the steps of a righteous man. And again, I'm made righteous because of Jesus, not because of anything of myself. But he directs my steps. And so as I go throughout my day, things happen, and we fulfill good works throughout our life just because God's already prepared those for us to do.
That's true.
As we live our life being led by the Spirit, that's going to be the result, is being led, directed by God, filled. If we're filled with the Holy Spirit or led or controlled by the Holy Spirit, that's like a sail on a boat. It's filled with wind and it's pushing it in a certain direction. So we're led and controlled and empowered by the Holy Spirit to do what he directs us to do, empowers us. If God calls us to do something, he's going to give us the power to be able to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where God guides, God provides. He's going to have, you know, give that empowerment. If he's really calling us to do that, he's going to equip us. Because that equipping comes from him, not
exactly
out of ourselves.
I think it's like this show that you started doing, Curtis. I mean, I believe God just directed you to do this.
Mm-hmm. As long as the money's there, I can do it.
There you go.
But it's him that provides.
That's right.
So how do we stay God-minded, God-focused, instead of people-focused or self-focused or carnal-minded? How do we stay God-minded?
Man, I tell you, I think good Bible teaching, people that know and understand grace. I mean, like Dave Grabiel, man, I love sitting under when he teaches. I love sitting under that guy. I mean, he's got the correct message and presents it well. Very thorough guy. Dave and Kathy Hildebrand. I love sitting under their teaching. It's just, Joseph Prince. There's many other people out there. Bob George and
Flo Dollar.
If we spend time in the Word, God can speak to us. Yeah. Okay, so whether we're doing it individually, whether we're doing it corporately as a you know Bible study or a church group, or whether we're you know doing it formally or informally, God can do that in many different ways. And just like in the Old Testament, you know, in Deuteronomy 6, you know, we're to teach our children as we go about the way, as we rise up, and as we would do it. And it's the same thing with us personally. You know, we're gonna feed ourselves personally by reading the Scripture and letting God speak to us. We're going to do it corporately, where we join together because we're a body of believers. You know, we're not called to be Lone Ranger Christians and try to live this Christian life ourselves. Exactly. We need to come along alongside one another and lift up and encourage one another, instruct one another, and give people encouragement and just come alongside each other. And that's what living this Christian life is about. We do it in community. Mm-hmm. You can't do it by yourself. But there is a personal responsibility there that we, you know, we have our part to play.
Yeah,
but we're all in this together.
We each need each other to help each other to grow in a walk. Some people say, no, you know, you can do it yourself. All you need to do is just spend lots of time in the Word, lots of time in prayer, lots of time in fasting. Once again, we're getting back to formulas, we're getting back to works, trying to do it ourselves instead of relying on the Lord and leaning on our brothers and sisters. And I am one that has a hard time myself studying the Word every day, so I try to read it. And I make sure that I attend the Bible study that teaches it, and I get a lot out of that Bible study. And some people say, well, if you really love God, then you'll spend a lot of time in the Bible. I believe if you really love God, you'll focus a lot on Him, and you'll keep your mind on Him, and you'll keep your attention on Him. Because where else would you want to keep it? And you do want Him to be the one that leads you and guides you in all truth. So we can sit and do our own readings and come up with our own understanding of it, or we can also be in a group where we can, through prayer and through the Word, just like the Wednesday night Bible studies I go to, we can get a clear understanding, and I think that's much better than me trying to get the understanding myself on my own, even though I believe if I can do that, it's well worth it.
It's something we need to do together. You can't love one another by yourself.
No, that's true. That's true. Okay, well, we have a few more minutes. So, Dan, what else do you want to touch on? What else would you like to share?
You know what? I don't know if we're closing now or not.
No, we have about 10 minutes.
Okay. I just really want to say to those out there that are listening, if you're a believer or if you're not a believer, the Word says that Christ died to change our lives. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that who would ever believe in him would have everlasting life. And I think that there's so many people out there. You may be out there today, and you've never received Christ in your life, but something here on this show has touched your heart. I would encourage you to call in to the phone number that Curtis has given you, and he could help you. He could direct you to other people also.
894-7325 is the number to call. Also want to recommend a book out there, and I don't have the book to give it away, but there's a book out there, and if you guys call and ask about it, I'll see if I can get a copy of it. It's called Are We Preaching Another Gospel? And it really has helped both my brothers in the faith, has it not? And how has it helped either one of you?
Well, absolutely, it's helped me.
Yeah, it's been very good. There's one of several good books that we've read through in our grace journey. But like you were saying before, you know, being in the Word and hearing what God says about himself and about his love for us, mm-hmm. being reminded of how much God loves us is key to just living that life.
Amen.
And being how to respond to one another in our daily lives and how to share the gospel and doing all that comes as a result of knowing how much God loves us. That's essential because that's the basic where everything comes from is God's love for us. You just mentioned John 3:16 and Curtis, I think you started out the program with us, for God so loved the world. But you can tie John 3:16 in with Paul's prayer for one of Paul's prayers for the Ephesians in Ephesians 3 verses 18 and 19 says Paul says that and you may understand that you may have the power to understand as all God's people should how wide, how long, how high and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. So we need to know how the breadth of God's love. For God so loved the world. That's how broad God's love is. He so loved the length of his love that he gave his only son. He loved so much that he gave the depth of God's love that whoever believes in him, that's how deep God's love goes. It goes to the whoever's, not just a certain, not just to a select few, but whoever believes. Mm-hmm. And the height of God's love that we should not perish but have eternal life. So it goes up, goes down, it goes long, it goes wide. His love is just so tremendous. Mm-hmm. And just spending time in God's word, discovering that fathoms of God's love, that all the depth and the richness that is there, how deep and wide his love is for us. That's something we can spend time on by ourselves in the word and together with believers every week, just delving into the depths of God's love and goodness for us. Mm-hmm. That's how we can be encouraged daily and weekly to live the life that God tells us before. You were asking earlier about how do you know what God's will is? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16, 17, and 18. Really short verses, but verse 16 is, rejoice always, verse 17, and pray without ceasing, verse 18, in everything give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
So that answers the question. There's God's will for us is like Warren Wiersbe wrote a bunch of commentaries, and it was always like be something, be comforted or be firm or whatever. Just all of his different commentaries for different books of the Bible were his be commentary series. So I kind of took an idea off of that. Rejoice always tells us that we need to be joyful.
Mm-hmm.
Pray without ceasing. We're called to be prayerful.
Mm-hmm.
And in everything, give thanks. We're called to be thankful.
Mm-hmm.
That's God's will for us, according to what Paul says to the church in Thessalonica. We're to be joyful, we're to be prayerful, we're to be thankful.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that
that
we can do.
That describes his will, yeah.
That describes his will for us. That's how he wants his people to live, mm-hmm. joyfully, prayerfully, and thankfully.
So totally focused on him. His perfect, pleasing, good will. Are we in his perfect will? Are we doing his will? His will is just to stay focused on him and stay in him. To be more than to do. Instead of focusing on so much on doing, focus on being in him.
He made us to be a human being, not a human doing.
Exactly.
In this, when you come to this place, the Bible talks about entering his rest. Well, this is such a restful place to walk.
Mm-hmm.
No longer trying to live up to the rules and regulations of the law or the rules and regulations of man himself. It's just it's restful.
We're dead. We can be dead to sin now. Okay, we're no longer slaves to sin, but we're alive to God.
Mm-hmm.
So we're servants of righteousness now because that God has put us in that relationship now. We're no longer controlled by the sin which used to dominate us, which we used to be slaves to, but now we're slaves to and servants of God.
People, I believe, that understand grace as a license to do something wrong or they can be saved and do whatever they want, I don't think they really understand grace. And I think that they're the ones that give grace a bad name. I think they really need to have a true understanding of what grace is all about. It's not about, now that I'm saved, I can go do whatever displeases the Lord. I can live my life any way. You don't want to. You want to do what pleases him. And that's what my guests have touched on today. I want to ask one question. It was on the top of my head, and now it disintegrated. That's what happens with age. I'm the youngest one in here. I'm the youngest one in here.
Us three old guys together.
So what does it mean to, when Christ said, be holy as I'm holy, or to set yourselves apart? What does that mean to either one of you?
Well, holiness is it's from the Greek word hagios, okay? It means to be set apart. So to be, you know, it's the same root word for sanctify, holy, and saint. Okay, we're a saint, okay? No longer a sinner by nature, we're a saint. God's, you know, given us a new nature. So we are holy, we are blameless, okay? We're in right standing, but our holiness comes from Him.
That's right.
Okay, so we're sanctified, and we talked about being justified was to be declared acquitted, not guilty. Righteousness was a right standing or right relationship. And holiness is sanctified, and sanctifying or sanctification means to be cleansed and set apart. You're set apart from sin, and you're set apart for service from God, like That's those good. Old Testament utensils, right? There were the things that were in the holy place, in right. the temple. They were set apart. They weren't used for common everyday purposes. They were used to serve God, and that's what we're doing. We're not set apart to do common everyday mundane things. We're to set ourselves apart for God to serve Him because we've been cleansed.
Exactly.
And made righteous
by the blood of the Lamb. Yes.
Yeah, we're the good China.
Dan Martin, go ahead with your comment because I'm going to have you pray out.
I just was thinking of that. You know, you said, you know, if you think that grace is a license to sin, I really don't believe that you've had a true experience with Christ, because when you understand how much Christ has done for you, the love that He gave just to give His own life for us, for our, you know, to be able to have relationship with the Father, with Him, and through the Spirit. I just think we miss it. And it's definitely, grace is definitely not a license to sin.
No, that's kind of like a straw man argument that's set up, I think, by people who don't like the grace message, because it's not a license to sin. We're not free to sin. We're freed from sin.
From sin. That's exactly right.
Trust
Dave.
In the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge Him, and He's already made your path straight.
That's right.
Well, we're running out of time, folks. I hope you've been encouraged today. I hope you've been uplifted. And if you need prayer, feel free to call 894-7325. We'll pray for you. Also, listen in next week when we have Brenda Dowland from the Women's Resource Clinic on, and she'll be talking about what God is doing with the women, how God's ministering to the women. And something just happened in Sacramento this week that we're going to touch on next week regarding something that we all need to be aware of. Anyways, I'm going to let Dan Martin pray out. We've got just a few seconds. I'll let him pray out.
Curtis, I just want to make one more thing, too.
Sure,
I've got one of those books
okay.
I'll give you that you can give out.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Father, again, what a privilege to come together with like-minded believers, Lord God. It's just been an awesome time to share with these brothers. You are so precious to us, oh God. I just pray that you would continue to bless our brother Curtis, Lord God, and just continue to provide the finances that he needs to keep this show on the air that many more believers could hear. I pray that you would open up greater opportunities for my brother Dave Gabriel also, Lord God, a man full of the Word, full of the Word of God. I pray you would open up opportunities for him to share in greater areas, Lord God. I pray your blessing upon the rest of this day and upon the people that were listening, oh God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Christ Today is a local nonprofit and non-denominational ministry here on KKXX. You can contact Curtis Smith with your feedback toll-free at 855-930-1045. That's 855-930-1045. And join us every Saturday at 11 here on KKXX for more Christ Today. Desperately seeking your